We've seen on our past messages in our What is a Primitive Baptist series that man is totally depraved in sin. He's dead in trespasses and in sin. So therefore, this morning we want to ask, how does man receive life? If man is dead, how can man receive life? And he has no ability to meet a condition that gives him life. Instead, this morning we will see that men are born again by the sovereignty of God, the direct, immediate working of the new birth in the heart of a dead alien sinner. John chapter 5, verses 21 and 25, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will." Quicken means to give life. Verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and in sin." So God comes to those that he chose before the foundation of the world. Because remember, God foreknew a people. He foreloved a people. He predestinated those people, but then he called those people. And calling describes the new birth. And he calls them by the voice of the Son of God, calling them from dead in trespasses and in sin to life in Christ. Now, John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So no man has the ability to come unto God. Why? Because he's dead. A man that's dead can't do anything. But instead, God sovereignly draws his people unto him in the new birth. The word drawing here depicts the drawing of a bucket. And the person that's drawing the bucket does not ask the opinion of the bucket, "Would you like to be drawn? Do I have your acceptance or your consent to be drawn?" No. The drawer just sovereignly draws the bucket according to his own goodwill and pleasure. And that's what God does in the new birth. For those that are dead in sins and cannot come and will not come unto God, he sovereignly draws those that otherwise would not and could not come. Psalm 65 and in verse 4, "Blessed is the man who thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." God chose the people in Christ to save. He covenanted to call all of those people, and he causes the elect to approach unto him because he draws them. John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now that word "coming" does not describe a belief of the gospel. It describes simply them coming unto God in resurrection, in life. Just as God called Lazarus out of the grave and he came out by the power of the voice of the Son of God, in like manner, those that are dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually, when they are called by the Son of God, they come unto the Son of God, and all of them without exception will. All those that were given to Christ to save, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." In other words, all of them will be born again. Now, there's quite a few different ways that the new birth, or simply calling one from dead in trespasses and in sin to life in Christ, is described in Scripture. It's described as a calling. It's described as a quickening and a resurrection, a new birth and being born again. It's also described as a creation, and we've already seen a drawing. Now, we don't have time to look at each of these individually, but notice what all of these have in common is that each of these are actions that one party is passive and the other party is active. In the delivery room, a child does not choose to be born. No, it's the actions of others that give that child life and the reason that that child is born. No one that's dead can choose to be resurrected. No, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. A bucket can't choose to be drawn, but God sovereignly chooses to draw his people unto him, and God did not ask the dirt for its consent or acceptance if it wanted to be made into a man. No, God in creation was sovereign over his creation, and he did as he pleased. So God is sovereign in the new birth because man is not involved in his birth. He's not involved in his resurrection. He's not involved in his creation. He's not involved in his passive drawing. But no, God is active in all of those cases, and that describes the sovereignty of God in salvation, not based upon an action of man, but simply based upon the sovereignty and the goodwill and pleasure of God. So now we have to ask, who's born again? Well, we've already answered that in the covenant of redemption, right? In Romans chapter 8, those that God foreloved and he predestinated, those are the same people that God will call in the new birth. What is the basis of that call? The basis of that call is not that someone meets a condition and that is who gets born again. No, the people who get born again are the people that God foreloved and the people that God predestinated. And God is going to make sure that they are called and born again and regenerated at some point in their life. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works of righteousness that we perform that men are born again. The general teaching in Christianity describes a conditional regeneration. In other words, God will only born again those who meet a condition. Belief, repentance, acceptance, praying a prayer, baptism. There is some action that you meet, and then God is just unable to born you again until you meet that condition. And then after you do it, he's more than happy to born you again. Well, that's simply salvation by works. You performed a work, and then God saved you. So you weren't saved by grace. You weren't saved by Jesus Christ. You were saved by your belief. You were saved by your prayer, your acceptance, your baptism. You're saved by works. But our salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we have done. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, but it's not according to anything that we do. The new birth is not conditional upon man performing an action, and then God can only born you again after you perform that action. No, the new birth is determined and administered according to the pleasure and the will and the sovereignty of God. God borns people again when it pleases him. And we see evidence in Scripture of people being born again in all different points of their life. In John chapter 3, Jesus gives Nicodemus a very in-depth exposition of the new birth. Beginning in verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, unless someone is born again, they cannot visibly see heaven. They will not enter into heaven, but they also don't have the ability to see or experience the blessings of the kingdom of God here on earth in the church either. Jesus continues the point in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Remember, a person that only has a natural fleshly birth can only perform natural fleshly actions, but it takes the Spirit to understand spiritual things. So you have to be born again, right? You have to be born again to see the kingdom. You have to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God, both in heaven and the gospel kingdom here in time. Jesus says, Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. It is of necessity for one to be saved to heaven and to experience gospel blessings to have been born again by the Spirit of God. Now Jesus then continues on in John chapter 3 and verse 8, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now man doesn't have control over the wind. We certainly see that clearly evidenced when we see hurricanes and tornadoes that destroy property and destroy people's homes. Man doesn't have control over the wind. The wind blows where it listeth, right? And thou hearest the sound thereof. You can see the effects of it. You can even hear the effects of it. But you can't tell, is it really coming? Is it really going? Which way did it blow? You can get a certain idea of that, but you can't tell exactly. And the only way that you know that the wind is blown is you see the evidence of the wind blowing. You see a leaf moving. But man is not in control over the wind. No, who's in control of the wind? God is. He is sovereign to blow the wind as he sees fit. And that's how Jesus Christ describes the new birth. God is sovereign to blow the wind of the Spirit in the new birth when and where he sees fit. And we can't dictate the wind to be blown in a specific location by performing an action. I believe, and therefore I require and encumber God to blow the wind upon my heart. No, God's in control of the wind. He lets it blow as he sees fit. It blows where it listeth, and you can see the effects of it. And the effects of the wind are belief and love and righteous good deeds. Those are not the causes of the new birth. Those are the evidences of the new birth. Notice the conclusion of John chapter 3 and verse 8. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everyone is born again just like the wind blows. God is sovereign. God blows the wind as he sees fit. You can see the effects of it, but you can't tell the precise exact moment most of the time when the wind blew and when it left. But every single elect child of God is born again in the exact same way. Remember, all children of God are foreloved and predestinated and justified and glorified in the same way. Of course, all of God's children are going to be called in the same way, right? right? In other words, there's not one means of the new birth depending on different facts and circumstances of the elect's life. No, regardless of what time period, regardless of the facts and circumstances of their individual life, every single child of God is born again in the exact same way. That's what Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 8 says. Now, the reason why that is so important to understand is that since there is only one means of people being born again, that means that anyone that does not meet some supposed condition cannot be saved. The most common teaching in Christianity that says you have to repent, believe, and pray a prayer and put faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. What do you do with aborted babies and the mentally handicapped and those that have never heard the gospel and Old Testament saints and a lot of other subcategories? None of them can meet that condition. And many times when you press people that believe in a conditional salvation, you have to perform an action and then you will be born again. Most of the time when you press the issue, you will find that most of these people are portrayed to be in some type of an exceptional category. Babies in the womb, for example. A baby in the womb, or even a young infant, can't confess Jesus Christ with their mouth. So therefore, those that believe in a conditional belief salvation have come up with an unscriptural age of accountability that's not in the scriptures anywhere, that everyone below a certain age that does not understand the gravity of their sin just gets a free pass to heaven. Well, no one gets a free pass. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not to mention, every single child of God is born again in the exact same way. So the baby in the womb has to be born again in the exact same way of the person who professes a belief in Jesus Christ in the church. The mentally handicapped supposedly never reach this unscriptural age of accountability because they never understand a full cognitive understanding of their sin. They don't become accountable for their sin, so they just get a free pass to heaven. Well, the scripture doesn't support that at all. Every Old Testament saint, what do you do with them? They weren't saved by the law. The New Testament is adamant about that. So how are they saved? They were born again just like everybody else by the direct, immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Think about all those Gentile nations in the Old Testament that died out having no knowledge of the gospel and no knowledge of the Mosaic law. But yet in Revelation chapter 5 and 9 and 7 and 9, God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. So how is it possible for Gentile nations that had no exposure to the law, no exposure to any of the Jewish customs or the offering? How is it possible that God has a people out of every single one of those kindred, tongue, people, and nations? They can't meet any condition because they have no knowledge of the gospel. They have no knowledge of anything. How is it that those people can be saved? Well, they're saved just like everybody else by the direct, immediate quickening of the Holy Spirit. What about those that have never heard the gospel? What about those that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ from the mouth of a preacher? Again, oftentimes when you press the issue with someone who professes to believe in a conditional belief, eternal salvation, they're going to say something along the lines of, well, even if we don't get the gospel to them, I believe God has a way of saving those people and he's going to reveal himself to those unevangelized people apart from the gospel. Well, yeah, bingo, buddy. That's exactly right. God has a way of revealing himself apart from the gospel. But that's not the exception. That is the standard of salvation. That's the only way of salvation. Because every child of God is born again in the exact same way, per Jesus Christ in John 3:8, right? And not to mention, all of these exceptions would say we don't need to preach the gospel to people. If someone is in a 100% salvation state by being in gospel ignorance, why would I reduce their possibility of going to heaven to 50% by telling them the gospel? That hinders us in having a desire to preach the gospel. No, that's utter foolishness. Every single people group, at every single age of time, in every single nation, at every single point of death, at every single point in their life, every elect child of God, regardless of the individual circumstances, is born again in the exact same way. And it's not by hearing and believing the gospel. It's not by praying a prayer. It's by the direct, immediate working of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of the dead alien sinner. Man's dead, so he has no ability to reject God, right? A dead man can't do anything. A dead man can't give his consent to have life. He's dead. So therefore, man has no ability to reject this calling of God. And therefore, the new birth and the calling of God is known as the effectual call because it is always effective in God's calling and effective in its intended purpose. Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 10, For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word will accomplish its intended purpose. All of God's calling of the Son of God to those that are dead in sin will be effectual. God's grace is irresistible. No man can resist the sovereign grace and calling of God. Even Nebuchadnezzar had enough sense in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 to realize God does his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? But yet the majority of Christianity says God cannot save the dead alien sinner unless that dead person gives him his consent and he accepts God's salvation. That's giving the dead in trespasses and in sin man more authority than the sovereign God of this universe, and giving a dead natural man the ability to stay or stop the hand of God. God wants to save you, but a dead man is giving God the Heisman. No, God forbid. There is no one that can resist the will of God. There is no one that can reject the calling of God upon the dead heart of the sinner. Everyone that God desires to save and call, he saves. Why? Because there is no one that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? There's no one that can resist his will. There's no one that can resist his grace or his calling. John chapter 5 and verse 25 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear. Not if they listen up, not if they accept, not if they give their consent. All of the dead that receive this calling of the voice of the Son of God, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and what's going to happen? And they that hear shall live. Every single one of those children of God live because they receive the calling of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and because ye are sons, because you are already a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You do not become a son when you believe, and then God is willing to send that spirit of adoption to cry, Abba, Father, in your heart. No, you were a son that was legally listed as an heir of salvation before the foundation of the world, and because you are sons, and because you've been adopted into God's family, now God applies that sonship by the Spirit of God into your heart and gives you a knowledge of God to cry from the heart, Abba, Father. You don't become a son because you cry, Abba, Father, unto God. Because you are sons, God sends his Spirit into your heart that causes you to cry, Abba, Father, to call upon the name of the Lord. Again, men are born again solely by the direct, immediate working of the Holy Spirit upon their heart. A majority of the confusion in Christianity today is that what Scripture actually presents as the effects or the evidences of salvation are generally presented as the causes of salvation. The wind blows where it listeth, and we can evaluate if a leaf blows, we can say with a strong degree of confidence when that leaf moves that the wind blew that leaf, and the wind is depicted as the Holy Spirit. So what do you see when that leaf moves? Well, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is blown. And that leaf moving, if you will, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you see someone that loves God, that is an evidence that the wind of the Holy Spirit has already blown in their heart. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, but we also have assurance of salvation in our own hearts because we love the brethren. We have assurance that we have passed from death unto life. Faith is an evidence of salvation. Internal faith in the new birth is displayed in an external way by belief. Belief is not the means that you become a son. Belief is not the means by which you are born again. Belief is an evidence that you are already born of God. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not will be, is currently born of God. John chapter 5 and in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, by the way, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life in current possession of it, and shall not come into condemnation. Why? But is past tense, is passed from death unto life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again first. You do not believe to get everlasting life. A person that believes is evidencing that they already have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, is in current possession of everlasting life. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because you were stubborn? Because you didn't act right? Because you chose to reject it? Because you didn't believe? Why don't these people hear the words of God? Those that were of God, they heard God's words. But why didn't the rest of these people hear God's words? Not because they were stubborn. They are not of God. Remember, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, goodness is a fruit of the Spirit, right? So if you see someone doing good, that is evidence that they've been born again by the Spirit of God. That is the evidence that the wind of the Holy Spirit has blown. We can evaluate that leaf moving of the Holy Spirit, so to say. When you see someone doing good and doing righteous works, that's evidence that they're born again. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. So if you see somebody doing righteousness, that means that they've been made righteous in Jesus Christ, right? All of these are evidences of salvation. Love, belief, faith, good works, righteousness. The wicked have no fear of God. If you see someone that has a reverence and a respect toward God, that is evidence that they are born again. All of these things are typically presented as being the means of salvation, the causes of salvation. You have to choose to love God. You have to choose to believe. You have to choose to do good works. You have to choose all these things, but those are not the causes of salvation. Those are evidences of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are evidences that the wind of the Holy Spirit has already blown in your heart, and you've been born again just like every other child of God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And how is every single child of God born again? By the direct, immediate working of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of the dead alien sinner. Not through an intermediary, not through a person, not through the gospel, not through even the written or the preached word. But God does his business personally. God borns his people again personally by the voice of the Son of God. He doesn't subcontract it out, because if he did, we'd mess it up. So God does it himself. So Jesus Christ calls personally and directly and individually under the heart of the dead alien sinner, and every single one that hear, every single one that he calls. And who does he call? Those that he foreloved, those that he predestinated. Every single one that he calls, they shall live. That is the effectual call. That is irresistible grace. That is the new birth by the sovereignty of God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. May God bless you this morning.